And good morning. It's Tuesday. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. Is it Tuesday? It's Tuesday. Of course it's Tuesday. We're Tom and Shane. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. We hope that you will join us. And why not hit the subscribe button while you're here before we get started? Because that way you can give your undivided attention to our big topic today. And of course, ring the notification bell. Like us, leave a comment. Let us know what you think of our show. And if you'd like to support us monetarily, there's a link in the description below on YouTube and on our recordings of the shows. So take advantage of that. And we're brought to you, of course, by StreamYard. And how hard can it be? I can do it. I mean, come on. That alone should let you know how easy this is. And of course, there's a link to the description in that below as well. Well, today we've got to talk about this could save the planet, Shane. And the saving of the planet is shown in the picture. Is it not?
It truly is. This is a continuation of an education of global warming and the falsehood. Another area of the spectrum of what we've been covering, for the last couple of months about it. We've gone through every science that doesn't speak out about global warming. And so this is another one. It's well documented. Clearly the records, the numbers show where we are with this. So I'm happy to talk about it because it's a remarkable reality of how powerful the planet is that we live on.
Yeah. Well, 54% of our terrestrial lands are made up of grass-dominated ecosystems, and a lot of people don't realize that grasslands produce 10 times more oxygen than trees.
That's right. It's a remarkable reality. You'd think from what you listen to, by the networks and these global warmists, that somehow trees are a great provider of oxygen, which they are. But it takes 240 trees to absorb the CO2 produced by from one car in a single year. That's not to say there's not enough trees to do it. Mm-hmm. It's just the amount of oxygen that trees produce compared, of course, to savanna or grassland. All kinds of studies have been done in the last 10 years about it. It's great to talk about it because a human breathes about 9.5 tons of air in a year. But oxygen only makes up 23% of the air. The rest is hydrogen. So we need a lot of oxygen. Nitrogen. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's oxygen, nitrogen. My mistake. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We only extract a little over a third of the oxygen from each breath that we take, which is rather remarkable. It seems like you take a deep breath and you don't get that much oxygen because it's mixed with other things. So, it's about about 740 kilograms of oxygen per year per person, or seven or eight trees. Now, that's nothing compared to grassland or grasses. You talk about grasslands, and they're all over the earth. We all know about them. The prairies in the United States and Canada, or the grasslands of North America, the pampas of Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, and the steppes of Europe. And so if you want to get a great feeling next time you're mowing your lawn, 25 square feet, 25 by 25 square feet is enough to grass in your front yard to produce the equivalent of oxygen required by a family of four. So, right, in fact, you're producing in your front yard if you have a lawn, which most people do. I mean, most pieces of property are 75 by 100 square feet. It's a remarkable reality to be able to sit back and realize it's not as bad as they make it out to be. I mean, the difference between 1960 and 2015 today, in 1960, 49.7% of the of the planet were covered with forests, and it's increased to 50.8%. So it's gone up a full percentage. And grasslands 18.8% in the same period of time, 1960 to 2015, is 20%. The deforestation that they talk to you about is actually a natural process that the biosphere goes through to replace coverage of forests with grasslands, which again produce more oxygen.
Yeah.
And even with man's mass deforestation of the planet, it's been replaced by grasslands or other types of grass, different crops that are grown, all of which produce more oxygen.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing to talk about. It's relatively interesting. Yeah.
Well, it's something that people don't think about. We all we're looking at pollution. How much pollution does trees take out of the air, the CO2 out of the air? Grasslands, of course, take way more out of the air. Crops do as well. And there's also less than 10% of our grasslands are protected in any way. Our forests obviously are. Here in Montana, we got the Gallatin National Forest. more of the state's owned by the feds than it is owned by people in Montana. We've got trees as far as the eye can see here. But we've also got grasslands here as well. The base of the mountains are all grasslands, some people are building there, but the majority of our mountain slopes and everything are grass, and we're an agricultural state.
That's right. In North America, the urban city that's been built in the last 150 years across your continent has not been a bad thing. Most of them were built on grasslands, but keep in mind that, again, the yards that most of those homes have, other than the inner urban city, the suburbs, make up for that difference. And it's important because 78% of the atmosphere is nitrogen, as you pointed out. 21% is only oxygen, which is sort of one of these contradictions in terms as to the content of the atmosphere and how man manages to live here. But it's quite funny to realize that grass produces, as we're saying, about three times more of oxygen than trees do. So grasslands play a major a part to that. The other thing that's important to it is roots. There's three basic types of roots on the planet: fibrous roots, found in monocot plants, and tap roots that are found in the majority of deciduous and carnivorous trees and plants, and then water roots. But it's the tap roots. They're massive, and the reason they're important is because guess what they store? CO2. Mm-hmm. So this entire system is a locked circle of life. The CO2 produced before man by volcanoes and fires and other natural events were always absorbed by the roots. That's why the forest fires are a natural thing, and really we shouldn't spend these billions of dollars trying to put them out, because basically what happens is two important things. Number one, the roots absorb all the CO2 that's burned. And number two, pine cones, as we've told everyone for a decade, it requires a 650 degree temperature for a pine cone to crack open and release its seed. So a tree, it cannot naturally grow in its natural environment without forest fires. It's a natural thing, that the planet has been doing for, hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years since the biosphere we live in has existed.
Let's talk about Canada, where you are. You're bigger than Russia. You're almost the size of China, in fact. You may be bigger than China. I don't know, the land mass or whatever, but you've only got a 10% of the population the United States does.
That's right.
So obviously, there is a lot of both trees and grassland in Canada. Now, we used to talk about Brazil being the what lung of the planet. The Amazon rainforest used to be known as the the lungs of the planet, and everybody's talking about how much of that is being taken out every year so they can plant stuff.
Well, the natural cycle of a forest is that, you know, it grows, obviously, mm-hmm. and then whether it's a deciduous forest, which provides for a smaller forest floor for things to grow and fauna and animals. In the tropics, you have a vast amount of animals and flora that grow beneath it. But the problem is that the longer that forest exists, the less sun gets down to the floor.
Right.
And in the big firestorm of Yellowstone Park 50 years ago, they let it burn. And what scientists realized was it created a whole new environment and allowed for new growth of forest, new growth forest naturally. But more importantly, fauna returned. Insects returned. Insects returned. Birds returned. Birds returned. Stool. And all of a sudden, the fertilizing. And then there's more grass. And then more animals return. So it's a natural process. This isn't something we should stop. It's invigorating for the planet that we live on for our own existence. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see. And it's a great thing to talk about because, again, it's natural science. No one wants to talk about. So we're on the record, you know, one day that someone will find us and they will find these shows. And we'll be proud to have done them because we told the story. We told the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, everybody talks about the planet. We all talk about saving the planet. We got to get rid of fossil fuels and this and that and the other thing, you know. And I think it's, you and I both think it's way overdone, but I don't see any beachfront property in Miami for sale or Hawaii, you know, yet. When I can get a hotel for $50,000 on Biscayne Bay or somewhere, I'm down with that. You know,
exactly.
I'll just rent out the top 20 floors instead of leave the bottom 10 as a giant swimming pool.
Well, your observation of Brazil and the Amazon in particular being a lung of the earth, it is part of that, part of the tropical equatorial part of the world. But that also includes Africa and also includes Asia. It's all tropical the weather. But it's important to note that actually the largest forest in the world runs along the Rocky Mountain chain from Alaska to Chile. And the largest a part of that is Northern California all the way up to Alaska. So you've got Northern California on the one side and Utah on the other of the Rocky Mountains. And you got to go up to Colorado, Wyoming, Montana on the east side, and Washington and Oregon on the west side. Then British Columbia, which is as big as all of them. Yeah. And all the way up to the Yukon and into Alaska, which is big too. Mm-hmm. So this is vast area with some of the largest species of natural animals in the world. Mm-hmm. They don't give it enough credit. No one talks about it. But again, it isn't as efficient in producing oxygen as the grasslands, but the bottom line of this story and what we wanted to make a point of today is it's grasslands that produce the most oxygen on land. Of course, over 50 to 80%, scientists aren't sure, of the oxygen produced comes from the ocean, and again, that's a natural process. It's just part of the deal.
Yeah, it's as though the planet was designed for us to produce CO2 so all this stuff could live.
Exactly. It's a natural cycle. And photosynthesis, along with CO2 and the sunlight that's provided by the sun creating photosynthesis is what provides the chemical reaction in animals or plants rather, and the biosphere to produce oxygen. So it's a wonderful machine. To suggest that the greatness of mankind somehow can interfere with it is it's laughable. We're not that powerful. We really aren't.
Yeah, no. Well, when you go back to the 1800s, let's say, and buffalo and deer and elk and everything else was as far as the eye could see.
That's right.
Producing all this stuff, but they're all on grasslands at the time.
And the remarkable thing is, there were two huge herds of buffalo. The northern buffalo herd in the United States and Canada was 40 million or over. And the southern across the Great Plains into the Midwest was 60 million. Mm-hmm. And one of the great things these animals did was fertilize. Yeah. They're the ones that were the natural fertilizers of these grasslands and kept them growing. Now, up until about 1898, the world workforce was mostly agrarian. 92% of the workforce in the world was agrarian, for man to survive. And in 100 years, that's dropped to like 6% in North America. Mm-hmm. And that's a remarkable number because everyone went to industrial. And yes, industrial created all kinds of CO2. And we did a lot of scarring and took advantage of everything that the earth produces for us to create a better life for ourselves, which has been miraculous. But it really hasn't done anything to shutter the production and Mother Earth. We're just another species, trying to exist here. That's all it is.
That's from our viewers. Madeline says, okay, guys, I have to weigh in here. Tom, you hit it on the head. Planet was designed by God. I'm assuming she meant that.
Yeah, of course.
It wasn't designed by us, but... and is she going to finish that up? The planet was designed for us by the great creator, the Lord God. Does anyone think he would allow man to totally destroy it? So we don't think so. As we've said a million times, this planet's been here for a long, long time. Humans have been here for, 100,000 years or more. So if we have a problem that's going to threaten mankind, I'm pretty sure, we sent people to the moon with less computing power than is in your phone.
Yeah, that's right.
We invented the automobile, electricity, radio and TV. If you think we can't solve the problem of global warming, then I'm sorry. I have way more faith in the people of the world who are working on this problem.
And the hard part is, the world is, basically because of economics and politics divided into three, the third world, developing world, and the first world. And we're grateful to live in two of the greatest country clubs in the world. We are. But look what we've accomplished in 100 years. A lot of these other people in the third world and development world, they've been around for tens of thousands of years.
I know, yeah.
And we've done this in 100. So something's not right somewhere. Education, food, whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. But, well, I left out flight, medicine. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous what we've been able to do with some freedom to do it. That's the whole key, is we have the freedom to pursue those dreams and bring them to fruition.
And the importance of our discussions now is great because we've given the context so we can have a little giggle about looking at it from the numbers. And the bottom line is that science has no idea how many human beings can be, how many human beings Earth can support. Mm-hmm. But, like we talked about insects, and there's 1 quadrillion insects. This is the age of insects, okay? They are... the dominant species on the planet. Yeah. So, man may end up eating them.
They'll be our food source someday.
Probably. Millions, hundreds of millions of people eat insects now on this planet.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. I've read somewhere that you could take the entire population of the world and put it in Texas and they'd have 1,000 square feet to run around on.
Exactly. And all the insects they need to eat. Okay. Yeah, right. They could go out and, you know, mm-hmm. instead of crawling over garbage heaps, they, you know, mm-hmm. They can go out and, I mean, when we talked about, you know, the number of spiders alone, there's over 100,000 spiders in every acre of land on the planet. I mean, that's a mm-hmm. lot of spiders. If you don't like spiders, you better go catch some.
Yeah. Supposedly you're never more than 6 feet from a spider.
That's correct.
That's what I'm told. I don't know.
And you know, it's quite fascinating too, because it's one of those species that eat their own. I mean, left with nothing else to eat to survive, you know, they're cannibals.
So. Yeah. They'll attack their own. Absolutely. Yeah. That's great. So there we go.
There you go.
All right. Sounds good. All right. I think we've wrapped up here. We got a
No more giggles and laughs about the success of grass in our lives.
No. I think most people, when you say grasslands, I'd rather watch paint dry, but it's right. important. It's an important part of our ecosystem. And I think, the more people that know about it, the better. So, you know, at least they got another tool.
I just want to make a comment about Madeline's. I'm sorry, Madeline. I didn't mean to miss. I don't have my cheaters on. Okay, so the remarkable thing, I believe, because of my faith in God and Christ, is these are miracles. If you can't explain something, if you can't define, if there's no fact to reference what you're looking at, you have to accept it as a miracle, because there's so much. Every time you go for a walk, mm-hmm. everything you see, sure, it could be cause of evolution. I'm mm-hmm. not denying that, but the fact is it's still a miracle, whether it was from creation or evolution. Mm-hmm. There's so much to enjoy about this life that we live, that live in the moment, because these moments are precious, like every breath you take.
Yeah. Well, there's the old saying, if you don't believe, no proof is possible. If you do believe, no proof is necessary.
There you go. Very good quote there. Yeah, Eagle Man, you're good.
That's a great quote. I've lived my life with that that quote there. So.
You never expect anything. You always be surprised. When you expect things and they don't happen, it's a big disappointment. So don't live in a life of disappointment. Just live in a life of surprise. That's for sure.
Thing. Yeah. Well, in every adversity, there's a seed of an equal or greater benefit. So.
And it'll grow.
Yeah. So
that seed will grow.
There you go. All right. And absolutely, you are right, Madeline. Absolutely right. We're going to save this planet whether you like it or not.
Of course we are. Yeah.
You might as well get on the side of those who are going to save it. And, climate changer, doomsday sayers, you're on the wrong side of history.
That's right. The secularists in politics that only believe in the greatness of man, they have it all wrong.
Yeah,
man is not that great. He's very, we are more susceptible to danger and destruction, natural danger and destruction, than insects. I mean, they survive everything, hurricanes, tornadoes.
Amen.
Insects will fly around in tornadoes like it's a holiday, okay? So, like,
that's an e-ride on Disneyland, right?
That's right.
It's
a triple loop, you know.
I don't have to flap my wings.
That's right. And don't worry. Don't lose sleep. When you listen to these people tell you how dangerous, laugh at them, because they have no faith, they have no belief, and they have no hope. I mean, they claim the greatness of man, but they don't defend him. They just want to tear us. They want to tear you down. There's nothing in that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've read we've got 12 years or 21 years left before it's irreversible. So make up your mind.
Exactly. Yeah, it's funny. Well, I mean, you look at what we heard this from 2015. We're 7 years in, right?
So we're
7 years in. I mean, we've got 5 years left.
Should we give up? Should we just give up? Yeah. Let's just give me the towel. I'm throwing in the towel.
That's right. You remember in 2000 that vice president told us we'd be flooded out in 20 years?
No.
So yeah, it's all
now, Ted Turner, we'd be the planet would be unable to support food by 2030.
Exactly. So there you go, folks. We solve problems, we explain reality, and we have fun doing it. I hope you share it with us.
Yeah, there you go. All right, boy. We had a fun morning with that topic.
I think so.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Hey, don't forget, subscribe, like us, ring the notification bell. You know, nothing will happen to you if you subscribe. You know, I mean, there's the chances of you winning the lottery will stay the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to change.
Nope.
So subscribing to us, you know, it might save the planet. Who knows? But ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified. We have another podcast. And, of course, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday. And we're on radio on Saturdays. You can see that in the crawl below. We're on 8 to 11 Mountain Time. You can listen to us anywhere in the world. There's nothing to sign up for. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to tell us who you are even. You can listen in total, whatever that A word is, anonymity, something like that. You can be anonymous, animus.
Whatever you like. And keep in mind, this is a great thing for people our age to realize that there's still time in our life to accomplish something. We spend a lot of time reading and studying and being able to process these stories and these talks for everyone. So I hope it lifts those of you that are older or our age that watch, because it, you know, the bottom line is you can do this too. So
you can, yeah.
You could participate with us, and you can come on camera, and you can talk with us about any of these subjects with us. Can talk about your business with us. We'd be happy to talk to you about that. And any of you politicians out there that want to take Tom and I on about any of these topics,
go for it.
Come on, bring it on, baby. Come on, let's have you knock at the door, okay? I send out emails constantly to people of supposed importance. Yeah. You know, no response. They have no oranges to take on any effort that two old men are enjoying doing twice a week.
There you are. All right. Yeah, we're blessed when we need to mow our lawn. Yes, we are. I've got to do mine here in a day or so. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll share this program with others and leave comments and let us know what topics you'd like to for us to discuss. Because, we're open to almost anything. I don't know, you know. I can't think of anything we're not opposed to, unless it's, 1969 Pintos.
I don't know. There are a lot of car models out there in our lifetime.
Oh, the Gremlin. There you go.
Oh, there's a good one. And the Volkswagen. Look at the Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't know. Anyway.
The Beetle, baby. The Beetle.
Yeah. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us, everybody. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, and like us. And we'll see you on Thursday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, with our next podcast. Thank you.